Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
So just to remind you, next Friday, December 7th, we're going to be live from the home of Dolphin Rugby Club. That's Musgrave Park for the latest Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. We will be previewing Munster's Heineken Champions Cup clash with Cast, which is on that weekend in the company of some Dolphin and Munster legends. If you want to be there too, go to offtheball.com/events and you can get your tickets there. The latest Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. Now, it's a Thursday night, earlier on today. John Giles was in conversation with Keith Andrews. Here's how they got on.
I'm delighted to say I have John Giles joining me on the phone. John, thanks for taking a little bit of time out.
No bother, Keith.
John, it's been a huge week for Irish football. The decision was made by the FAI last week to relieve Martin of his duties and go in a new direction. Firstly, do you think it was the right decision after a difficult 12 months?
I think so, Keith. You know, when you look back, all international managers and managers in anyway have a lifespan, and you know, Martin's been doing the job for 5 years, and the last year hasn't been good. You know, if you look back on the history of it, like Big Jack was the biggest hero we've ever had as a manager, and he was sacked. Trapattoni was sacked. Alf Ramsey was sacked. So it does get to a stage, and I think it got to the stage with Martin last week that there had to be a change.
Yeah, I thought last week, John, when the decision came, I thought for all parties, not even just for the players, for the fans, I thought even for the management team, they looked in the last couple of games in particular against Northern Ireland and Denmark, like the fight had gone out of them even.
Yeah, it looked like it. Well, it always does, Keith, you know, when you're having a bad time and the results have been very, very bad. You know, the Northern Ireland and Denmark results, not just the results, but the performances were very, very poor. And you could tell that, you know, it had come to an end. And I think that was the right thing to do.
So the front runners right from the off were Stephen Kenny and Mick McCarthy. I have to be perfectly honest, I was certainly in camp Mick when it came to this group of players and bringing them forward right away. The decision was made, a new structure. It's different. It's a little bit out there, and it's unusual in the way we've gone about it this time. And I have to be honest, I can't believe the negativity and the scepticism that's surrounded it, because I think for the long term of Irish football with Stephen Kenny involved, and certainly short term with Mick, I think it's a really good appointment.
Well, I think it was a very, very, very good policy, Keith. You know, I think Stephen deserves a shot at it. I think Mick does as well. And it's ideal. The main thing was that Mick agreed to the policy. And so did Kenny, apparently. So, like Kenny has had a very, very good time at Dundalk and deserves a shot at it. And I think that he might have been criticised for not having international experience if he had taken the job now. But he's given 18 months to 2 years, Keith, as we know, to take the under-21s, to be with the international team, and to learn about international football. So I think that policy has been very, very, very good.
When we look at Mick and his strengths, John, what would you say they are? I know he's evolved himself since the last time he was in the hot seat with the FAI in Ireland and what he did back in the late 90s and early noughties. But he's done a hell of a lot in his career. What should we be expecting now of Mick as our manager?
Well, an improvement, Keith, in the general play. I think Mick was very unlucky because the Saipan thing didn't make at that particular time. Up to that, he had done very well. And he did very well at Wolverhampton, I think. He did a great job at Ipswich.
He did, yeah.
You know, they were criticised because they were only halfway up the table. Look where they are now. So, and I think Mick is at an age now, he's around the 60 mark, which I think is ideal for international football. So I think Mick will do a very, very good job as he did in the past. And it's a long way back from Saipan anyway, Keith. I think most people, hopefully, I've forgotten about that and just get on with it now.
Yeah, I sincerely hope so, John. And look, after the year we've had, we need to just get behind this regime and get a little bit of positivity around. He's brought in Terry Connor. He's a trusted lieutenant. He's had Terry since his Wolves days when he went in there with Ian Evans and he took over. And I know from personal experience he'll do a very, very good job. He was a coach of mine at Wolves 20 years ago or so. And he's also brought in Robbie Keane. Robbie he announced his retirement yesterday. Was probably still waiting to see what was out there, but he's come into the regime. What have you made of that, John?
Well, I think that's good for the future again, Keith. I don't think he's going to be in a managerial position. I don't think he's ready for that. But Mick has that, as you say, with Terry Connor and that. He has that done. But he can be in the dressing room, and I don't know Robbie at all, but apparently he's a bubbly character. And there's no reason why he can't teach and coach the strikers. I mean, he's one of the best strikers, well, probably the best striker we ever had. Mm. So there's no reason why he can't do that. I mean, we have goalkeepers special coaching for goalkeepers, Keith, as we know. Why not for forwards and for midfield players at times, you know? But I think it's a good appointment. And Mick made a point himself that he's a young fella. You know, he can get on with the younger players. There's a lot of younger players in the squad now. And he'd be a hero of theirs anyway. So he'd have the respect. So overall, again, a good decision.
Yeah, we had one Keane obviously involved in the previous regime, and I think you've made a good point that the strikers that are in this squad now, attacking players, we know we're deficient maybe in certain areas, and that would be one area. And these lads growing up, John, they would have worshipped Robbie Keane. So if he can just try and tap into that and work with those strikers in particular, it could prove a masterstroke by Mick, couldn't it?
I think it would, Keith. Again, I go back, you know, you have goalkeepers coaching for goalkeepers. You know, like if you get an outstanding striker like Robbie, why not help the strikers in a way? Because Mick wasn't a striker. Mm. Terry Connor, I don't think, was a striker. So it's all specialised coaching. And no better man, I'd say, than Robbie to do it. So I'd be very positive about the whole situation, Keith.
When we look at Stephen Kenny now in the 21s role. So the way I would look at it, Johnny, I don't know whether you agree or the way you say you've already mentioned about the time he'll have in charge. I just see it as, if you take them as two isolated instances, Mick is the manager here now. I think he's better placed to bring the group of players that we have currently available forward. And Stephen will now get 18 to 20 months in the building, working with our younger players who we have got very, very talented young players, trying to nurture those through. I just think on paper, Stephen Kenny will be better placed come 2020 to manage the national team. So I think that makes absolute sense.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, Keith. Because, like, he's going to be in charge for almost 2 years, say for 2 years, before he takes over. And he should know every player, every good player in those 2 years that are capable of getting into the full international team. And the other positive about it, Keith, if he's in charge of the underage teams, which I think that's what he is, they can be playing in a way that he wants them to play when he takes over. So, you know, it's a plus-plus, and I think that's the way it should be, you know. And I'd say there might have been some criticism if Stephen took over now because he said, well, he lacks international experience. Well, he's going to get international experience now, and if he's in charge of the under 21s and the other teams coming under him, as I say, in 2 years' time, you should know all those players, all the good players in Ireland, and how they play and how he wants them to play. So I think that's an ideal preparation for Stephen coming into it at that time.
Yeah, there's been a huge clamour, and it was a bit of a divide, wasn't it, last week? There was Camp Mick, Camp Stephen. In the end, we've kind of got a bit of a mixture of both. And I think one of the aspects has been, which you've just alluded to, the style of play in which Dundalk have played with, not just in the League of Ireland, but also when they've gone on their European exploits. I think that's something that the crowd over here, the general public, would like in an ideal world. Do you feel we have the players to play in the way that maybe they want to?
Well, I don't think it's a question of what the crowd want them to play in a certain style. It's what is effective, Keith, you know. And all managers have different styles, but if it's effective, that's the main thing. And we've seen with Stephen, with Dundalk, the way he's played, which is attractive and effective.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing, you know. I think it's an ideal situation, to be quite honest, Keith.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. Like I said when we first started talking, I can't believe the scepticism around. I think we just need to, at this stage, with the negativity we had for 12 months, we just need to get behind this. There's lots of different permutations that can bring it in any different direction, but let's just deal with them when they come. The draw on Sunday, Johnny, it's Euro 2020 draw in Dublin. We're going to be in pot three. So a favourable draw would be certainly nice, but do we think qualification is still a realistic aim? Yeah.
Well, of course, Keith. I think there are more teams in it now. I think it's easier to qualify. Well, it's never easier to qualify than it has been. Maybe, certainly in previous years. And you know, Mick has a bit of time. He doesn't have a lot of time, but he's a bit of time to get those, get the lads together. And I think the thing is, you know, if we play as well as we can, we're as good as any of the teams we played. You know, we had Northern Ireland playing us there a couple of weeks ago, and they played us off the pitch. But on paper, they don't have any better players than us. So it's a matter of making the most of what, that's what any manager can do, make the most of what you've got at your disposal. And that hasn't been happening for the last year or so. So I think Mick will get the best out of the players he has at his disposal. And then we play better.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Moving on to Champions League matters, John. We were watching Manchester United the other night. In the end, just about got there with Marouane Fellaini. Last-minute goal. What did you make of the performance the other night?
I thought it was very poor, Keith. I didn't think they played well at all. And they got away with it again in many ways, you know. Like, how many times has Fellaini rescued them? Where he's just knocking it in the middle. And in fact, I don't know if you've seen it a lot. I thought he handballed the ball.
Yeah, Fellaini. There was a little one in the build-up, wasn't there? Yeah, a little nick.
Yeah, just when he was turning on the kid, yeah. He got a little touch with his right hand to put it in front of him. Now, it was very hard to see. But if we had the VAR on that, we would have seen it all right. But no, I think they got away with it. They didn't play well at all, Keith. It doesn't augur well for the future. Let's put it that way. And the behaviour of Mourinho again was astonishing in many ways.
What's your take on him? Why he's doing this? And at that moment, like, you always think with Mourinho that there is a little bit of method in his madness. What's he trying to achieve with this? It's constant in terms of the criticism of the players publicly, the reaction the other night, and even before the goal, the Marcus Rashford, I don't know whether you've seen that, when he turns around to the crowd and he's kind of implying, well, what more can I do? You know, he's missing these opportunities. It just doesn't look good.
No, it looks terrible. I think he's looking for the sack, and I think it's in his nature. If you look back over his career, Keith, he cannot take any responsibility when the team is not doing well. It has to be somebody else's fault, and he has to be in the limelight all the time. He's like a little kid. I mean, a few years ago when Chelsea won, I think it was the League Cup at the time, and that photograph taken afterwards. And I don't know if you remember, but he was lying down on the ground in front of the players with one leg up and one arm
up. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Now, that's what little kids do, you know, spoiled kids, when they want to be in the picture all the time. That's what they do, and that's what he reminds me of. He can't take any criticism. He has to hit out at all the players, and look at all the players he's upset this season. And even the other night with that bottle thing, why would he want to do that? He knows he's on the television, and I think he did it because he wants to be on the television. It sounds madness, but that's the way I see him.
I agree with you. You've mentioned that he looks like he wants the sack. He just looks so unhappy. He looks grumpy every single time he faces the media or even when he's in the dugout, when that should theoretically be his release. If he's that unhappy, why doesn't he just walk away? Surely he has got enough money in the bank, John. He doesn't need this payoff and pushing his employers constantly.
Who knows with people, Keith, whether they have enough money or not, you know? I don't think he'll resign. I think he'd rather be sacked because then it wouldn't be his fault, you know. And like even the last incident where he criticised the four players and, you know, Rashford included.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be in the Spanish paper, but everybody knows there. Whenever you make a comment or a statement, it comes back around the world very, very quickly. So I think he knew what he was doing there. That's why I think he'd rather have the sack than I don't think he'll resign. I think he'd want to be paid up, and he can say then, well, I didn't get time to do it, and I would have been able to do it in the future. Whereas if he resigns, then he's given in, and he definitely won't want to be seen to be doing that.
The approach he has, John, it just seems to be very outdated. When you look across around at different managers, they've all got their difficulties, obviously, even Mr. Pochettino, the way he hasn't been able to spend money. Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola. You look at the relationship they have with their respective players, and the players clearly love them. I'm sure there's arguments going on behind the scenes, which is normal, which is a dressing room environment and the way that things go. But it's just a stark contrast to the way we see Mourinho and his players, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the main thing is, Keith, you know, as a player, you don't see Klopp and Guardiola ever criticising the players publicly or humiliating them. That's what Mourinho has done. And if you're not going to, you know, Ken is a player. When a manager does that, you're not going to give him the best.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is. It's not so much, well, there's a certain style of play as well. But if you look at the basics, managers, you go back to Ferguson. Ferguson gave him the hairdryer all the time. But nobody knew who he was giving the hairdryer to. He never, ever criticised a player publicly. But I mean, Mourinho does it all the time. So you're bound to fall out with them. Klopp doesn't do it. Guardiola doesn't do it. Mourinho is the only one that does what he does with the players. He
loses
them, and he has lost them, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think they're literally walking on eggshells. They're a shadow of the players that they can be in the main, and it's just a constant battle, isn't it, by all fronts. They're seventh in the Premier League now, John. They're 14 points off Man City and 7 points off Chelsea, who are in fourth position. Is top four going to be a stretch?
Oh, I think so. I'd be surprised if they make it. And just to make a little comment on Rashford, you see Rashford playing for England.
Yeah, different.
He's a different player altogether. Mm. Well, if you don't have the confidence of a manager, I'm sure you came across in your time. I certainly did when I was at Manchester United with the great Matt Busby. It's a terrible situation to be in. Terrible. And I think Rashford is in that situation with him at Old Trafford.
Yeah, look, I totally agree, John. Last night, Liverpool went to Paris. The away form hasn't been good in Europe. Already lost to Napoli and Red Star Belgrade. What did you make of their performance last night against PSG?
Well, I didn't think they played well, Keith, really. You know, second half, they came into it a lot better. I think the opposition got tired a bit on it. They came into it and they had not real chances, but they didn't really play well. And, I think they made it easy for Paris Saint-Germain in the first half, particularly. They played well, but they went off the boil as well. But Liverpool weren't good enough to take advantage of the slump in the second half to really get at it. They didn't really play well, Keith, I didn't think.
Have you been surprised with the way they've changed their approach in games? Everyone's mentioned the likes of Alisson and Van Dijk at centre-half, and the defensive pairing has made them a little bit more pragmatic. But have you been surprised in the way they've approached games this year? We've seen for the last couple of years the way it's swashbuckling football, forward-thinking, very erratic in a way. But this year it's been a lot different in the way the team's gone about their business, hasn't it?
Well, they're just not playing well. I mean, Salah's not playing as well as he was. Sané is not playing as well as he was. Firmino's not playing as well as he was. Because there's no reason because you're defending well, Keith, as you know, that you can't score goals. Mm. Like last year, they were scoring goals, and all the emphasis was on scoring goals, even with Klopp. You know, when they lost goals, he was blaming the team for not scoring when they had chances, rather than now he's got the defence together. But that shouldn't stop you from scoring goals.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it should help you because what the defenders are doing their job and doing it properly. There's no reason why Salah can't play well and all the lads that he had playing great last year. I think all the time they lack the really, really top class midfield, a creative player.
Yeah, I looked at Verratti last night and I thought he was a big upgrade on what Liverpool have, especially in the first half. I thought he was outrageous the way he orchestrated the game, and he's got that tenacity as well, hasn't he?
Henderson instead.
Yeah.
Henderson will never create anything. He's a Mr. Captain. I call him Mr. Captain. When he should be receiving the ball, you ever notice how many times he's pointing?
Yeah.
I'll play it over to him. Well, he should be getting on the ball himself. So that's a big, big loss and a big lack for Liverpool to really, really dominate and improve as they should. They've got a lot going for them, but they don't have a creative force in the middle of the field.
There was one club I wanted to ask you about in particular, John, and that was Leeds United, one of his former clubs. It's a team I follow very, very closely. I've been really impressed. The appointment of Marcelo Bielsa has revolutionised the club. There's a real belief in the way that they're trying to play football. I don't know how much you've seen of them this year, but from my point of view, I've been very, very impressed with the way they've gone about things.
Yeah, they seem to be good. They're on the way up anyway. And this manager, apparently, Keith, what I read, he was a mentor to a lot of the present-day managers. He's one of the older guys, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 60-ish. And you're nail on the head. Pochettino, Pep Guardiola, in the way that he set up his teams, if you go back 10, 15 years ago, they took a lot and they went and studied the way his teams played. So he's a bit of a maverick, a bit of a pioneer the way he set off.
Yeah. Well, it shows you what those lads have done since, Keith. He's obviously, whatever he had, he was very good and very good, basically. And the thing was at Leeds as well, they got a new owner in the last year or two, which is a big help.
Yeah.
You know, the other fellow they had was a headbanger. They were never going anywhere. So they've got a good owner now, and they seem to have a good coach in. So that definitely does give them a chance. They have the support, as you know, Keith. You know, the support at Leeds is unbelievable.
Every time you go, I'm flying over at weekends and I'm going to a game, that it's still there. It's one of the biggest clubs, well-supported clubs. So I sincerely hope they get over the line this year. John, listen, we're going to let you go and go and get your flight. Have a safe flight, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.